you guys get the benefit during the break of hearing what other people don't hear, you understand. You get some of the overflow, okay? But we're talking about authority in the church, and obviously we hadn't been looking real hard at the study guide. We've just basically been talking to you out of our heart, but talking to you about how authority works in the church. And especially where you have a senior minister, and then if you have associate ministers, then you have various people working, you know. And here, you know, with the college as well as the church, we depend on volunteer in order to carry out the mandate God's given us. It's not that we're stingy and tight-fisted and trying to take advantage of the people. It's that the Lord said, freely you've received, freely give. And so we can't pay people and keep the thing to where people can come to the college if they don't have the money. You understand? That's not an issue. That's not a deterrent. Our mandate is to get the Word of God in you. And we believe that God will take care of the rest. Well, it's the same way with the church. I feel like we're still supposed to get the Word of God in people at the church. And so when you look at it, just like what Michaela does here, this is extremely important. It's extremely important to me. But it's also, it's far-reaching. You understand? When you look at you going all over the world with things and all that, and yet it's done out of a little room. Amazing, isn't it? That you don't have to have a multi-million dollar complex to do the will of God. And this is the thing God dealt with me about early on. And so, volunteers are extremely important. But here again, even at that, they need to be doing what they're comfortable with doing. In other words, I don't want a volunteer to be overwhelmed or feel like they're just wearing me out. I don't want that. And I believe when you're doing what God wants you to do, you don't get worn out. You understand? Now, the thing is, there has to be a system to where you don't let people take advantage of people. You know, we're on an honor system here with the way we do correspondence courses and all this type thing. And, you know, Jane set some things in place that were absolutely necessary because things were getting out of hand. And so we want you to respect the volunteers. You think, for instance, you think, I need a study guide. Okay? And so, what about the other people? Or I need to get a test. What about the other people? It's not like you're running one thing or for one person. And it's not like that's the only thing that we do. There's so many other things that have to be done as well. And it's not just dropping everything to accommodate one person. So, this is where we have mutual respect. And you certainly respect your volunteers, and you certainly don't want to put demands on the volunteers. And I'm sensitive in those areas that I don't like to see people taken advantage of. And I certainly don't want to be one to take advantage of people. But by the same token, I don't want to deprive people of being able to utilize their gifts for the Lord. And if we have if God wants to use us for other people to use their gifts, then that's great. But I want you to know that you're not just doing something to do it, but I want you to see it as ministry. What you're doing is ministry. You understand? It's the legitimate ministry. And people miss that. They think, well, you have to be preaching or teaching. Well, what would a preacher or teacher do if they didn't have all these other people assisting them and helping them to bring these things to pass, especially like in the college? You know, in a church setting, and we're still talking about authority. You take like in a church setting where you have, where you're recording or where you're videoing. Okay? So you need someone operating your mixer board, your sound. You need someone operating the computer. You need someone operating your video displays. You need someone operating your camera when you know, video the services and all this type thing. And you want a person that you don't have to think about. They're dependable. And a person that's conscientious about what they do, that they don't just turn something on and neglect it. It's just like if someone like you have a singer singing with a soundtrack, then you have to blend that. And then you have to understand that some songs really build to a crescendo that gets louder, and you don't want to blow the people out. And so, and there's a way to do that to where it's not distracting, it's not taking away anything, and when it works right, you don't notice it. When the man's doing his job right, you don't really notice it. And some people think, well, I'm unappreciated. They don't even know I'm here. God knows you're there. And so you have to let God be the record keeper. You have to let God be the rewarder. Now, I really appreciate the people. I've done these things. And so I guess I have an appreciation for people who get in there and really pay attention to what they're doing and do what they do with excellence. And realize that they're a vital part to the ministry. When you're speaking, it's very distracting if your microphone's messing up. Or with me, I like the monitor up enough that I can hear it. If I don't hear it, then it's a distraction to me. Because I think the people aren't hearing what I'm saying. So what's the use of talking if people don't hear what you're saying? But when someone is keeping all that working, it frees you. You don't think about this. You don't think about that. You don't think about it. You can stay focused without having to fight distractions. And so I'll say a person, a good sound person, is worth their weight in gold. I mean, they are valuable. You understand? They're valuable. And yet, they don't get the accolades. People are going to talk about the one doing the speaking. They're not going to talk about the one running the sound. And yet the one running the sound can make or break a speaker by the quality work that they do. And so when you're in that position, that's your realm of authority. It may be a machine, but that's your realm of authority. You control that machine like it's supposed to run. Don't let the machine do what it wants to do. You do what that machine's supposed to do. You could take care of the controls on that thing. Okay? And whatever your position is, then just stand up and take responsibility for what it is that you're doing. And no one should have to be looking over the shoulder of anyone else saying, did you do this? Did you do this? You know, how about doing this? And how about doing that? And all these type things. No, obviously, people have to be trained. And so you work with people while they're being trained. You don't get frustrated with them. You didn't know all you know. And one day, somebody was patient with you and worked with you, and so we have to be that way with other people. And this is the thing about authorities in the church. When you're setting the authorities in the church, we have to be patient with one another. We have to work with one another. And really the dominating factor in all this is a little word called love. And when you truly love the person, you can get past things. You understand? And you realize, you know, the person is they're doing the best they know how. I can't expect you to do what you don't know how. And so if there's something that I need to do, then really the responsibility is on me to train, not to criticize. And so this is a thing we have to look at in setting all these things in a church, in any type of ministerial organization, get it to where it works smoothly, and it works smoothly when the right people are in the right place doing the right thing at the right time. And that's not really that complicated. But attitudes can complicate it. Jealousy can complicate it. Resentment can complicate it. You understand? This is where we all have to keep a pure heart before God. And then we can work with one another. Is it sad that ministers can't work together? It's sad that church staff, you know, is jealous of one another. If the little things will come in to try to pit you against someone. I've been in it. Right? You understand? With this pastor, I told you that I loved dearly. And, I was as innocent as I could be. But there were some groups, you know, there was, they'd be like, maybe six people or something, invited to their house to eat and do this and do that. And I didn't think anything about it. And then I picked up something in my spirit. I saw the pastor's countenance was different toward me. And so I thought, we've got to get this resolved. And then after examining, I felt like I knew what the root of the problem was. And so I went to him and I said, I need to talk to you. And so he said, okay. I said, you may not need to hear what I'm saying, but I need to hear me say this to you. That I want you to know that I would not do anything to hurt you or work against you. That I am behind you and supporting you. I broke like that. You understand? That solved the problem right there. But without you knowing it, people can pull you into a position to where now there's resentment, now there's contention, because someone thinks that they may be trying to get you to usurp authority. And so you have to work with one another, and I'm not talking about just saying words. I'm talking about your heart. That man knows, and that man knows to this day, that I wouldn't do anything to hurt him. That's not my heart to hurt him. I love him. You understand? And you need to love your staff that's working with you. You don't want to hurt anyone. And you certainly don't want to talk about them and degrade them, one staff member to another staff member. I mean, that's suicide to do something like that. I mean, you're working against yourself. So you pray, you get the mind of God, you get these positions set as God wants them, not as some other church has it. And see, what happens is churches try to stereotype. Well, this church has this position, so we're going to have this position. They have this position. No, you organize a church around your gifts. You have one gift, then you have one person. And when you get two gifts, you have two positions. And you let it go by the gifts making room. That's when things flow smoothly. It's really incredible. I mean, it's somewhat mind-boggling to me when I look at the college and how God has orchestrated this thing down through the years, and how for nearly 27 years that Jane and I have worked together, opposite personalities, but not one time the cross where? Now, how can that be? It's because neither one was looking out after their own interest. When both of his heart is to do what you feel like is in the best interest of the college, what is there to argue about? What is there to get upset about? It's not that we never discuss things. It's just that it was always looking for what would be the best way to do things. And it wasn't always what Pete said. I don't have a problem yielding to better advice. And we have to learn that when we're working with people in various positions. You understand? You want this thing flowing smoothly. And if churches would just understand, be led by the Spirit. And when I say church, I'm talking about individuals. Be led by the Spirit. I expect Michaela to be led by the Spirit. You understand? Now, I'm going to tell you, she's a sweetheart. And I'll say that in front of you and anybody else. As a matter of fact, I told someone that today. And then you understand what I mean by that word. I love this girl. And her commitment. Especially when you look at her age and her commitment is incredible. And I appreciate that. And so I don't think I try to tell her how to do her job. Do I? I trust her. Okay? I trust her. But do you know, even at that, she's learned a lot of things along the way. Hasn't you? And she's been stretched. Especially when we started videoing. Now you have to learn a program that's somewhat complicated. But you know what? She's diligent in doing that. And so you respect that. And I appreciate that she's still fine-tuning. You understand? We all have room for improvement. And you might as well just go ahead and tell yourself, you never arrive to flawlessness. So what do? You strive for perfection. You learn. You're constantly, hopefully, we're constantly progressing. We're constantly doing things better to where things flow more smoothly. Okay? See, I was looking at something last night, and I was going to talk to Dale about this. And this is not a derogatory statement. So don't anybody take offense to this statement. That's an order. But I noticed on the seminar that we were getting tremendous noise out of the microphone. And I have a suspicion of what that might be. I want to talk to you so the next time when we do that we'll try to avoid that. This is what I'm talking about. You look at it and you say, all right, now how can I improve this? Not, well, who messed up? No, that's the wrong attitude. No, it's what can we do to improve this? What do I need to do to improve this? This is how authorities are to work in the church. It's not in an accusing way, but it's a camaraderie to where your family, you feel close to the people that you work with them. You love them. You respect them. And so all authorities should respect all authorities in that setting. You understand? It's not just everybody respect the oversight. No, the oversight should respect everybody that's in any position. And everybody that's in those positions should respect the oversight. But you earn that. You earn it. I can't demand you respect me. Maybe I can, but that doesn't mean you do. You may do what I say, but not respect. So I need to earn that. You need to earn that. If you want someone to respect you, then earn the respect. Amen. And the way you do that in these positions of authority is you do what you do with excellence. Be diligent. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. You understand? And then we're doing it for the Lord. And this is what I want people to see. I've had people say, well, I'll do this for you. I said, no, listen, you're missing it. I want you to do what you do for God. Do what you do for the Lord. I'll benefit by it. But make sure you're doing it for the Lord. Do it for the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, right? Amen. Well, it's been a little different. That wasn't in your study guide, but I feel like there's some things that need to... It's really practical teaching, and a lot of this practical teaching comes from the many things that I've experienced in all these years of ministry, things that we've personally run into, problems that have arisen. I know from experience of how people have tried to pit me without me really being aware of it, pit me against oversight, or they try to pit people against you as an overseer and all these things. And how do we resolve this problem? That is, everybody get their heart right with God. Everybody get your heart right with God. When you get your heart right with God, you don't have to make somebody think you're important. You are important. You're important to God. And importance is not based on performance. It's based on your dedication to the Lord. The Lord selected you. Now do what He selected you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I'll stop there.